This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam wa ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli ya rabbal alamin. The last lesson we talked about in this book, Wa'ibid al-Sayyib, entitled The Gardens of the Righteous, we spoke about how Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned ayat that deal with the shortness of the time span of the dunya, of this life. And he gave a comparison. Who remembers the comparison that Ibn Qayyim, or that he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, that he mentioned the time span of the life of this dunya? Does anyone remember?
Under the
Sorry?
Under the
well, that's a hadith of the Prophet. Yes, he said that what is for me in this life? For verily, I am like a wayfarer that is sitting under the shade of a tree, benefits from it, then gets up and continues on his mission. But in this book, Ibn Qayyim mentions another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The little time left in this dunya, and it was when the sun was declining upon the ru'us al-jibal." And he said, "The time left of this dunya is the time that is left of this particular day." So, showing the shortness of the time span of the dunya, of this life, which also reminds us that we should and how this life is something that is cherishing. It is something that is despicable, and being that we should not sell our akhirah for this life, being that we sell our akhirah for this life. What does that mean when we say we're selling the akhirah for this life? What does that mean? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that numerous times in the Quran. Right?
Exchanging like infinite time for like a temporary moment.
Okay, but how would you explain that? Let's say there's a non-Muslim and say, okay, I read this in the Quran. What does that mean? Selling the afterlife for this life. What does that mean? Like what? With an example. How would you explain that?
Having love and obsession for the worldly life and worldly things and material, you know, yada yada yada.
Okay.
In exchange for the love of the hereafter and the, you know, afterlife. Yada yada yada.
Haven't fully explained it yet. That's what we just mentioned, but explain it. Like if you were to explain it to someone that's coming back to the religion, someone that's non-Muslim, they want you to explain, okay, the love of this worldly life for the next life. How would that manifest in action? And you said love of this life, okay, that's now we're talking about an inclination, but give me an example.
Focusing on things that don't benefit you as far as deen-wise. You know, not focusing on things that would give to you, that would be like a wasila.
Oh, what? Example. Yes, you're getting closer. Okay, so you're doing things in this dunya and sacrificing your akhirah for doing the thing in the dunya. Give me an example.
Skipping faraid.
What's faraid?
All the prayers and, you know,
You're talking to a non-Muslim, guys.
Yeah. Consumerism.
No, talk to your non-Muslim friend. Skipping, who's Fred? What is faraid? What is that?
Consumerism or hedonism.
What is that?
Sins.
I'm asking y'all a simple question, y'all. I want y'all to explain it to me to a non-Muslim. You see how difficult this is for y'all? Give me an example. Hedonism, you're there. But what is that? Ibu. What is hedonism? I don't know. Explain that. I bet you half of the Muslims here don't even know what hedonism is. Explain it to me. Explain. Give me an example. I'll give you one. Prayer. Salah. We came to the Salah. Right? What did we sacrifice Is this an action of the akhirah or an action of the dunya? What action of the dunya could we have done that would have sacrificed an action of the akhirah, such as salah? What's that? You're watching TV. You're watching television. And somebody says, you hear the adhan go off in your house. You hear the adhan go off. All of us have the adhan clock, mashallah, tabarakallah, whether it's the old one with the red lights or whether it's the new TV screen one, right? Or whether it's the app, right? It goes off and we're watching the NBA finals, right? Not finals yet. But cricket finals. Jannakum shuruwa maqabain, mashallah. Right? You're watching some. Okay. Is this watching the television? Is this ibadah? Is it ibadah? Is it worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Most likely not. Okay? But then in action of the akhirah, particularly salah, because there's no reason you would do this except that it is mashrur. You would not do this action. Eating can be ibadah and it can also not be ibadah. Taking a shower can be ibadah, but salah, not really. Right? Along with the fact is, okay, so where is the sacrifice here? Now we give an example. So the example is that what? You say, salah. Inshallah. This is much more important. You have just sacrificed that for that. You see what I'm saying? That's what I mean by an example. All of you are giving me some definition, but an example. Because sometimes you're going to have to explain it to someone that is jahil. Very ignorant. And does not understand. And does not know. You should be able to tell them in 2, 3, 5 minutes. Phantom? Yes, sir.
Maybe to rephrase.
Yeah. Right, so they chase all this money, women, right, and they chase those things in exchange for what? Okay, most of you here work, right? Work? Is it charitable? Are we working for charity or do we receive a paycheck? Huh? Okay, so some of those things that we do, it depends on our what? Intention. Some of those things is your intention that could be ishtira. It could be purchasing the afterlife for this life. Right? Let's give another example. A degree. A degree. Right? If we go and get a degree, but we want a degree because we want a degree to be a manifestation or a way to use what Allah has given us to help people. And helping people is something that is Islamic. We want to give back to society by bringing forth something that is halal or something that when we do it as a Muslim, it will shine the light on Muslims in Islam much better and much more honorable and much more moral, etc. Right? So this is how even with our intention, it could change in that essence. So that's why when we're in this dunya, every single thing that we do with our intention, it could be something that is a reward or it could be for us or it could be ish. Against us. And there's a famous hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the one he mentions those three, فَأُخِذَ بِهِ فَصُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. He mentions one of them is the one that reads the Quran so it can be say, إِنَّهُ قَارِئ. Or the one that fights for the sake of Allah so it can be say, إِنَّهُ جَرِئ. The one that reads the Quran for the purpose of people saying, oh, mashallah, he or she has a beautiful voice. Right? So what their intention was riya. And riya is what? What is riya? Show off because of pride, right? But what is it? How does that tie into ibadah? How does that tie into the Prophet ﷺ made a comparison of riya? Showing off. It's a form of polytheism. It's a smaller form of polytheism. What's the comparison that he made with it? Who remembers the comparison the Prophet ﷺ made with riya? He compared it to what? Yes. Ahsantum. Like a black ant on a black stone in the middle of the night. It's so khifya. It will creep into your heart, showing off, But if there's a particular da'wah to when we say showing off. We say showing off, okay, I have the new shirt or I have the new suwar khamis and I want people to say, mashallah, this is not. That's not riya. That's not riya. Riya is where you do an action of ibadah likay tuhmad, so people can praise you in that action of ibadah. Someone would say, that's ujub. We know it's showing off, that's ujub. But riya is where you do an action of ibadah liyahmaduk, so that you can be praised or be looked at, and you know the main focus of that is because the action of ibadah should be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you're doing it to be seen by the people and praised by the people when the action itself should be for Allah, inshallah. Jazakum khair. So we're going to just cover this small khutbah by Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. It's about five lines, inshallah, six lines, and that's where we can conclude the first portion of this book. Where Ibn Qayyim mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَكَانَ عُمَرَ بْنُ عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَقُولُ فِي خُطْبَتِهِ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّكُمْ لَنْ تُخْلَقُوا عَبَثًا وَلَمْ تُتْرَكُوا سُدًى وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَعَادًا يَجْمَعَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ لِلْحُكْمِ فِيكُمْ وَالْفَصْلِ بَيْنَكُمْ. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, some of whom they say he is the second Umar after Umar ibn al-Khattab, right? Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was the second caliph of Islam. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, they say he was the second Umar because of his authority. He came from a rich family. His father was from Egypt, mashallah, tabarakallah, and he was in the, I think he was born in 64 Hijri. And he was someone that was known. He became the Emir of Al-Madinah, and he was a student of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. And he was someone that was, subhanAllah, was an exemplar of the deen. He became the Emir at the age of 25. The Emir of Medina at 25. No? Just think of that of our young men today. He was the governor of Medina at the age of 25. Imagine how he was raised. Imagine the masculinity in that rajul, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, so he says here, O mankind, verily you are not created in negligence, and you are not left. You are not left without any care. And verily, wa inna lakum ma'adan yajma'akum Allah. And verily, there will be a return that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather you all to judge between you and to separate you all. Al-faslu baynakum. Al-faslu bayna al-muslimin wa ghayr al-muslimin. Yani, faslu means to separate. So he's basically saying there will be a time where you will be gathered and you will be, yani, al-nashr wal al-hashr, you will be gathered together, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will differentiate between you. فَخَابَ وَشَقِيَ عَبْدٌ أَخْرَجَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ الَّتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. He said, and the one is ruined and saddened for the servant that Allah takes him out of his mercy that encompasses everything. He's basically saying that person is the loser, the one that does not have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says here, وَجَنَّتِهِ الَّتِي عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. And he says, in his heaven, which encompasses and envelopes these heavens and the earth. وَإِنَّمَا يَكُونُ الْأَمَانُ غَدًا لِمَنْ خَابَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَاتَّقَى وَبَعَ قَلِيلًا بِكَثِيرٍ وَفَانِيًا بِبَاقٍ وَشَقَاوَةً بِسَعَادَةٍ. He says, and verily, the safety for tomorrow is for the one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is mindful of him, and who barters what is small for what is large, and what is everlasting for what is, or for what, and sells what is temporary for what is everlasting. Okay, and we just talked about that, right? So the things of this dunya that you do that are temporary, if there is nothing connected to it with your niyyah, being that you're doing it for the sake of Allah, then it may be something of this dunya. He says, وَشَقَاوَةَ بِسَعَادَةٍ, and suffering for happiness. And suffering for happiness. So selling that suffering or going through that suffering with the intention, again, with the patience of the qadr, like what we're dealing with right now, which is 1,000,000th of what our brothers and sisters are dealing with in Palestine and around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless their hearts with patience and with firmness, with impatience and love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's predestination. And then he says, rahimahullah, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنَّكُمْ أَسْلَابُ الْحَالِكِينَ وَسَيَخْلِفُكُمُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَكُمُ الْبَاقُونَ. He says, do you not see that all of you are in the ranks of that which perishes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have people that will follow you? He's basically saying, your life is temporary. You will eventually pass away. And then he says here, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنَّكُمْ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ تُشَيِّعُونَ غَادِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَائِحًا قَدْ قَابَ نَحْبَهُ. He says, do you not see that you will be every single day, you will be from the people that will take people to the grave, to شَيِّعُونَ. The one that is heading and journeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his term has been fulfilled, and his future has been shortened. His future and his hopes have been shortened. Basically saying that, look, you are. Do you not see that there every day you're praying a janazah, you're taking someone to the grave, and that person you're taking to the grave, their hopes and desires have been cut off, and they are journeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It always reminds me of the statement of Fudayl ibn Iyad, radiallahu anhu rahimahullah ta'ala. Fudayl ibn Iyad, he said, he asked someone, kam alayk. Many of you in the masjid know, I love this statement. You know, he says, kam alayk. He asked him how old he was. And then the man said, I'm 60. He said, sittuna sana. He said, sittuna sana wa anta tasiru ila rabbik yushak an tablugh. He said, it's 60 years that you've been journeying to your Lord and you were almost there. Look at how he viewed his life. The man said, I'm 60. And he said, 60 years old. So you've been journeying to Allah for 60 years. So whatever your age is, know that you are journeying to Allah. You are on a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how Fudayl ibn Iyad, and he was a known aesthetic, by the way. That is how Fudayl ibn Iyad viewed life. It is just a journey. And that's when we mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm a traveler. I take the shade of a tree and then I continue my journey. The shade of a tree is the dunya. The Prophet ﷺ grabbed Abdullah ibn Umar by his shoulders. What did he tell him? Kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib o abidi as-sabil. He said, be in this world as though you are a stranger or a wayfarer passing by. And what's beautiful, the Prophet ﷺ also said, tuba lil ghuraba. He said that the glad tidings are for these strangers. Some scholars say the stranger is the one that is strange because of his aqidah, because of his or her belief in the oneness of Allah. You know, the Shaykh, mashallah, jazallah khair, he mentioned hedonism. Hedonism is basically where you live a hedonistic lifestyle and you just live, you know, life means nothing, or you just fulfill your desires. As they say, obey your thirst. There is no ultimate purpose. There is no connection with the actions that you are doing with something that is eternal. It is something that is temporary, something that is worldly, is something that is tangible. But in Islam, everything that we do, we want to connect the tangibilities to the intangibilities, and that's what makes life purposeful. So here when he says here, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَإِنَّكُمْ فِي كُلَّ يَوْمٍ تُشَيِّعُونَ غَادِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَائِحًا وَقَدْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَانْقَطَعَ أَمَلُهُ فَتَضَعُونَهُ فِي بَطْنِ صَدْعٍ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ غَيْرِ مُوَسَّدٍ وَلَا مُمَهَّدٍ. And then he's creating the scenario. He's saying, you know, do you not realize that you are taking people to their graves every single day, those of whom their hopes and dreams have been cut off, and that people will follow you, and that they will be placed in the depths of the earth, in the depths of the earth that is neither cushioned or soft, basically in their grave. And then he says, and no means, in all their means, قَدْ خَلَعَ الْأَسْلَابِ وَفَارَقَ الْأَحْبَابِ وَوَاجَهَ الْحِسَابِ. He says here, and all of their means have been stripped from them, and they separated from their loved ones, and now they are about to face their reckoning. So he's reminding us here that we arrived only to return. That we arrived only to return. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And that is exactly what the man said to Fadil ibn Iyad. He told him, 60 years you are traveling to your Lord and you're almost there. The man said, verily we are for Allah, and to Allah we will return. So reminding us, as he concludes this, Ibn Al-Qayyim, he says here, وَالْمَقْصُودُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَدْ أَمَدَّ الْعَبْدَ فِي هَذِهِ الْمُدَّةِ الْيَسِيرَةِ بِالْجُنُودِ وَالْعُدَدِ وَالْأَمْدَادِ وَبَيَّنَ لَهُ بِمَاذَا يُحْرِزُ نَفْسَهُ مِنْ عَدُوِهِ وَبِمَاذَا يَسْتَفِكُّ نَفْسَهُ إِذَا أُسِرَهُ. And then he says here, and the goal, and what is meant by all of this, everything that we talked about from before. Remember we mentioned the army, the inner battle, and how he prepares you with the castle and the armor and the army. And he mentioned, he talked about, rahimahullah ta'ala, that there is the shahwa and the ghadab and the ghafla. These are the things that shaitan will try to come through. And then he mentioned also that there is the nur and the basira and the burhan, right? There is the light, and then there is the insight, and that there is the clear evidence that he gives you. All of this, he says, Ibn Qayyim, The maqsood of this is that to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has given him what he needs in this short time frame with the army and the preparations and the help. And he has made clear to him how to protect himself from his enemy and how to release himself from any type of servitude or servitude for other than for shaitan, if there happens to be that. So it is in conclusion to show that Allah has given us what we need in order to fight against shaitan that wants to take us away from our ultimate purpose. And that is why in this dunya, remembering that the time is near, the time of the akhirah is near, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, ata amrullah fala tasta'jilu. He says that the time of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come, and do not rush it. What is very beautiful about this small verse, when he says, ata amrullah, he uses the past tense verb to show that the time is near. And then he says, fala tasta'jilu, do not rush it. Do not rush it. That the time of the end of times is near, it is close. As the Prophet ﷺ even mentioned, that it is closer than the strap of the sandal to the foot, that it is a close time frame. And that, what should that put in the mind of the Muslim? What am I doing when I know this? And this is knowledge. This is not speculation. This is knowledge because it's from Allah. So it is a confirmation for us that the day of judgment is near. And the fact that we don't know is from the wisdom of Al-Hakim. It's from the wisdom of the All-Wise. Our responsibility is to do the best that we can with what we have internally and externally. From our iman internally, from our love and our trust with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our obtaining of knowledge, and externally by coming together as a jama'ah, coming together as brothers and as sisters, and working together for the solidarity of the brotherhood and sisterhood to make us stronger individually and collectively. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that recognize His greatness and allow the knowledge of His greatness to permeate our hearts and to be of that which increases us in our worship. Ya Rabbil Alameen, akfir lana min dhunubina wa zidna ilman ya al-aziz ya al-qawi ya al-mateen ya al-ghaffar al-ghafir al-ghafur. Aghfir lana min dhunubina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. وانصر المستضعفين في غزة يا رب العالمين وثبت أقدامهم واربط على قلوبهم يا رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خير.